Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
Are we live?
I don't
we
know.
We must be.
Okay, we're live.
Right, we are. Perfect.
Oh, hello, everybody. Hey, how's it going? Welcome to Pathways Podcast number 64.
It is 64.
And I'm back after a week off.
Yeah. We're
glad to have you.
And so is Steve on a stick.
Even though I was kind of here technically.
That's right.
Yep.
I think it's funny that she picked that picture.
That's why every question we asked you, your answer was, hmph.
Pretty funny. That was the clowning around picture that we took in Hawaii a year ago. So a year ago, I was in Hawaii, so.
80 degrees.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Warm.
Yeah. And I remember, so it was a year ago, I remember sitting there watching the news going, what's this crazy virus that's out?
Yeah, what is this COVID thing?
Yeah, so it started, I mean, I remember it was February of last year that kind of went from something out there to something that was now suddenly here. And then it was by the, it was like the first weekend or second weekend in March, everything shut down.
Yeah.
So we're kind of within that month window. So a month from now, we'll officially have been 12 months from really the, you know,
things
when things really escalated and
went
crazy. So it's been, it's hard to believe it's been a year. But I was here on Sunday. I did get to hear your message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Timely and relevant, just like our vision statement talks about biblical truth in a culturally relevant way.
Yep.
And so very fitting. And so what was your, tell us about your preparation. I know I saw you on Saturday and you're still trying to get everything kind of
bring it all together.
Bring it all together. And you did. So you did a good job. And
yeah, it finally all came together at 10 o'clock Saturday night. So, but no, you know, working through this message, you know, God has a way of kind of working out things in your own life. And, you know, this scripture, while the parable of Mark 12 was very specific to the Pharisees, the things that lifted was, you know, this idea of God gives us abilities and talents and almost like responsibility to steward what he gives us, just like the tenant farmers. And are we being good stewards of what he gives us? And, you know, whether it's a talent, a blessing, whatever it might be. And yeah.
So, one of the hardest concepts I think it is to try to convey to people is that we are called to build our lives where Christ is the center of all things.
Right.
And I think that oftentimes he's on the outside, kind of, he's a piece for a lot of us, but he's not the center. And, you know, I think going along with what you said on Sunday, as the cornerstone, which is the building block, the primary building block, which is what he's meant to be, we can, everything flows from that understanding. If that's not the case, then there's just kind of a different perspective on what's going on. If Christ is the center, and he always will be until his return, you know, that, and it includes all things, then that includes government as well.
And, you know, one of the main points I want to point out with that foundational piece is, like, Christ doesn't, he's never shaken. He doesn't leave. Nobody can take him from you.
Right.
You know, and so when we build our life on him, it doesn't mean our lives don't get shaken a little bit, but we can rebuild them so much more quickly to for the building metaphor, you know, if the foundation is still there. And I used my career as an example. You know, had my foundation of my life been built on my career like it once was, when that was taken from me, my life would have been a mess. And I said in the message, you know, it was still emotional. I had to work through some things. But, you know, because my foundation is built on Christ, it was like, okay, let's rebound. Let's see what God has planned for us next, because he closes one door to open another. And so because I build my foundation on Christ, I can rebuild quickly. So
Absolutely. Yeah. So you had your notes over
I
there,
do.
Marcy.
I always have my notes. That's right.
What did you come up with?
Well, so along those lines, another thing that I thought was really good, a point where you went, was just that idea that it's not a one and done type of thing. And so as we put Christ as our foundation, we just have to be intentional throughout life that other things can sneak in and other things can pop up and we can lose focus and lose intentionality. And so it's that continual coming back to Christ as our foundation. And it's that ongoing daily, really kind of discipline of putting Christ as our foundation and and building everything else on him. And so
that's that Luke 6 scripture that talks about, you want to know how to build your foundation, you listen to my commands and then you follow them.
Yeah, there's an action piece with all of that.
Not because we have to, but because we get to.
Right, we get to. We want to.
I think, you know, and I think that, so there's always been that crazy balance between God and justice, what, you know, like where he calls us to, you know, to be ministers of justice within the world as far as things like that. So there's that there is that call to do that, but then simultaneously, it, you know, and I think where we get lost in it is you just have to leave the results to God. You know, you have to act faithfully and ethically, and you have to be submitted to what, you know, to this whole concept of Christ being the center of all things. And and even when you don't really understand, you know, there's plenty of issues out there that you could probably justify because of justice, certain types of actions. And it's like, well, okay, so maybe, you know, it's tough because you're not really sure, what do I do?
Right.
You know, and so you kind of... But one thing that you do not do is you do not attack leaders in such a way that's very, I don't even know what the word would be, but literally it just shows a lack of faith. So for example, for you to say that a leader is evil, that's a tough one because some are. So what do you do? But then simultaneously, so there's just... I would just recommend that rather than reacting emotionally, you always react prayerfully
That's a good
how
point.
You do things. Because, you know, I mean, for example, if you were living in Germany in 1940, you know, you know, what is submitting to authorities look like?
Right?
And what is the right thing and the wrong thing to do? It just, it's not an easy thing to do.
Right. Yeah.
But what I see, and this is what you really hit on, is people emotionally lashing out at politicians or leaders that don't agree with their ideology. And that's dangerous because, you know, that's a whole different ballgame because, you know, nobody, you can't win. So the second a president or anybody gets elected, you automatically have about 50% of the people that hate them. It's like, well, you know, that's probably not a good idea. So it's kind of one of those tough things, but it always comes back again to what you said. Christ is the cornerstone and trusting him. What else kind of
you kind of had the three main areas that you talked about, that idea of giftings and then Jesus is the cornerstone and then that idea of government and authority. And so in that too, I thought you had three good reflection questions, just looking at over the last 11 months, how much hope have I put in the government? How have I given honor and respect to all in authority, and have I taken time to pray over those in authority? And so I think that those were just good reflective questions, and you know, thinking about how do we submit to authority and how does that affect our lives, and as Christians, do our lives look different in that, because they should. We should be praying for our leaders.
That's right.
And we should be, you know, praying for those in authority and respecting those in those positions. Whether we agree, like you said, whether we agree or not, we should be honoring of that, the position and the people who are there. So,
You know, we live in a day and age where people have a place to offer their voice. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. But I do think it is if you don't really think about it before you do it. Like if you share an article or you throw some things in there and, you know, things like that. Just, you know, I think as a pastor of a church, I would just urge people to be a little more considerate in what it is that they're participating in. And not only that, but it oftentimes stirs you up too. I mean, it gets you to this point where I heard somebody one time say that one of the dangers of, you know, like in ideology and things, it's totally natural for us to pick a team.
Mm-hmm.
So in our pride, we pick a team and we don't like it when our team loses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it kind of all stems from that. But the good thing about being on the Jesus team is he wins.
That's right.
Guaranteed victory.
Guaranteed
victory.
We know
he wins.
And so there, but there's kind of this mindset there. But don't trade one for the other. Things like that. So anything else that?
Yeah, I'd just add that, you know, it seems like our culture in America and probably across the world, we're getting to this point of where we believe our opinion is the only right opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And we want what we believe. And so there's like this natural instinct to try and gather more people to justify your position or your opinion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's what we've seen more than anything on social media. And so there's really a lack of respect of decency and authority. And, you know, I just want to encourage Christians, you know, we're called to respect authority. We're called to submit to governing authorities. We're called to pray for leaders. And so, you know, we get to be the example mm-hmm. of what that looks like. And we get to be the example of what submitting to authority looks like. Because I think over the last 11 months especially, you know, we've seen a lot of rioting.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of destruction. And it's really out of a lack of respect for authority. And, you know, we put our peacemakers in a dangerous position as they try to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And others want their voice to be heard in violent ways. So
mm-hmm.
As Christians, we're called to submit. You know, blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
So be praying for our law enforcement and military.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you were to talk to, and maybe I'm wrong here, but maybe this is just a perception, but if you talk to somebody who'd been in law enforcement for a while, they've seen a steady decline in respect of authority. And, you know, there. So somewhere the bar is being moved, it's being lowered,
mm-hmm.
And you just have to be real aware of that. Even as parents, I mean, what kind of lessons are you teaching your kids and,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like this, and just be careful. And you know, so it's one of those tough things where we really need Christ to lead us through. And the other thing that is really the kicker on all this is that the context of, because you read Romans 13.
Yeah.
The context of Romans 13 is Paul is writing to the church in Rome that is under persecution
mm-hmm.
by Nero.
Yeah.
And severe persecution
mm-hmm.
Breaks out in Rome against the Christian church. And, you know, so, I mean, you know, there are some bad leaders out there. And Nero would be
right up there.
Right up at the top.
Yep.
Yep.
And this is the setting in which Paul is saying, submit to authority.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So
one of the other things along those lines that you mentioned too is just that idea of trusting God in the midst of it. So mm-hmm. do we trust that God is still in control in the midst of all of that, and that God still has a plan? And even though we don't understand it, can we trust that he's in control and he has a plan and he's going to work something out of this, even
yep.
when we can't see what that's going to be or what that's going to look like, or even what is the way out of all of that, you know?
And we see all through Scripture, right, where good kings and bad kings, good leaders, mm-hmm. bad leaders, you know, Jesus still came. Jesus
yep.
still accomplished his mission.
On schedule.
On schedule. Yep. Nothing deterred God's plan.
No.
He is in control. And, you know, one more thing that lifted for me was during a time where there was Roman oppression, right? Hard labor, high taxes. But he wasn't concerned with the Roman government. And the Pharisees mm-hmm. really wanted him to overthrow, establish a new kingdom, get the Romans out of there because they were oppressed by him. But yet he had very little concern about the Romans and the government. And mm-hmm. he was more upset with the church,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The Pharisees.
Yep.
And, you know, you preached on tipping over tables because he yep. got so angry because mm-hmm. they were preventing people from being cleansed of their sins.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think we can just, as American Christians, get lost in the fact that we want our religious freedoms, and we want, you know, to be able to do this, that, and the other. But we can never lose focus that the mission of Jesus is to bring people to know Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, so the church is really designed to be that place where people can go and get strengthened and get encouraged, because when you go out into the world, there's just a lot of stuff there that's hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. I think that the easier it is out there, the less people see the significance of the church.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And if we're suffering severe persecution, like so many countries in the world, the churches there are thriving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because people are, you know, they need. There's oppression all around them, and so they mm-hmm. need the fellowship of the saints mm-hmm. in order to get whatever it is that they need to just survive the week,
right? Yeah.
And go through all the things that are out there, and so, you know,
you talked about that message you heard too about what was it 300 AD where the church, there was kind of this shift in the church.
There's never been a time in church history where the spiritual power and social influence were like high.
The same.
They were always one or the other. So it's almost like throughout the history of the church, you had to choose between social influence and spiritual power, because you don't get both.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more social influence you have, the less spiritual power you have, because there's this desire to keep that influence.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost, if you're not careful, you can find yourself almost compromising on the truth mm-hmm. just so that you can maintain that level of social influence. But once social influence is out the window and you're now in a place where you don't have any of that, it's almost like then God says, okay, I'm going to give you power mm-hmm. because that's mm-hmm. what you need.
Yeah, spiritual power.
And the other part of that message was that we are living in a day and age where you can literally see the social influence of Christians diminishing and mm-hmm. dwindling. If you go to a social setting nowadays, most likely, if you say that you are a Christian who believes in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be an outcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People might say, oh, well, that's cool. And then suddenly you find yourself standing alone.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk to you anymore. But that's how it is.
Yeah.
And that's the times that we're living in. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't like that, so they compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And they choose their social standing.
Mm-hmm.
They elevate that higher than spiritual power.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, very
good
interesting.
Stuff. Yeah,
good stuff. Well, good. Well, so awesome. We continue with Mark this Sunday, and we'll continue on. So now we make me switch over to theology.
Yeah.
All right.
You missed the heavy topic.
You did.
I know.
Yeah. I know. We said Steve will come in and
I noticed you guys didn't spend much time on reprobation.
Did we give the definition
just went
for
over.
That?
I don't even think we did. I don't even
no,
think we gave
the we were asked. Did I miss that? Nope. You did it. We just did it.
That's all right.
Give that.
Reprobation is the opposite
it's
of
the
election.
It's the opposite. Yes. Yeah.
So if some are chosen for salvation from the beginning of time, some weren't.
Right.
And that makes it very offensive to people. But, you know, one of the things, and really when you get into soteriology, you get into the salvational order of things, it's a discipline when it comes to theology where I don't necessarily have to agree with it or understand it for it to be true.
Right.
Right. So one of the things about theology is this is what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
And you did a really good job of reading what the Word of God says mm-hmm. about God's sovereign choice
mm-hmm.
and understanding that. And so this is what the Word says. Nobody had an issue with God hardening Pharaoh's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nobody necessarily had an issue with Satan not being given redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we understand. So but that's a great mystery because nobody knows who it is. And that's where you move into effective call
right.
or the gospel call. Because you don't know who it is until
they respond.
There's a call made mm-hmm. and it's effective.
Right.
Which is kind of fascinating. So just so people don't think we're fatalists, the issue of the gospel call is number one, it's presented by people, typically. So people are out presenting the gospel and offering the invitation. But then people actually, so it's not like if you're elect, then God, it's like you're sitting here, it's like, well, I don't really want to be here. But I had no choice because God chose me.
Right. So
God calls you in a way, and he enables you to where you actually, you engage your will, and you're excited about coming, and you love God, and you enter into this place, and that's what effective calling. So one of the keys to that is making sure that it's an accurate gospel presentation.
Right.
And not a presentation or an invitation that appeals to people's worldly sense senses. Like, that's why the health and prosperity gospel is so dangerous. It's not that you can't experience health and prosperity as a Christian at times, you know, in your life. It's not that it's that, but if that's the invitation to receive Jesus, then who doesn't want that? Right?
And then what happens when you don't get it?
Right. Then there's, you know what I mean? Then there's disenchantment and there's doubt and disillusionment and maybe even a hardening of the heart. So the gospel call, the effective gospel calling has to evolve around sin and repentance. Those have to be elements of an effective call. You know, this idea of you turning from your sin and turning to God and putting your faith in Jesus. So all those elements have to be there. And that's really the only, so the promise of an effective call and your response to God is forgiveness, atonement, and justification. So being declared righteous. And so that, but that's really all you get. So you get, you just get righteousness from what Christ did. You get forgiveness and atonement of your sins. Whatever follows after that is all, you know, who knows?
Right.
But that's why you come.
So here's a question. This kind of goes along with it. So I'm out, I'm you know, sharing the gospel with others, and someone tells me, well, I want to surrender my life to Christ. What does it look like to walk somebody through that process in the moment that says, like, I want to surrender my life to Christ right now? Because I think for Christians, I can remember the first time I got asked that question, I was like, yeah, well, let's walk through this. And I stumbled through it. But when someone comes up to you as a pastor and says that, what's the process? What do you
The first thing is that I know they're saved if they already ask. So it's not like what follows is the key to salvation. Right? The fact that somebody comes up to you and they're like, I'm ready to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it's already with God a done deal. What you really need to do is get that person to a place where they can, like, experience that relationship with Christ. So typically what I do is I will pray for them. I'll start praying, and then I will actually, I'll tell them, cry out to God. What do you want to say to God? You know, this is your opportunity. Speak to the Lord. And then, you know, they'll oftentimes say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, forgive me. You know, I'm a sinner, and I want you to be a part of my life. And, you know, they have their prayer with God. And then I'll actually pray, Lord, you know, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Lord, send them the Holy Spirit. And I pray that people would come around them to help them on their journey. Lord, would you, you know, you could say things like, Lord, would you help them understand Scripture? Would you walk them through and help us, help the people that are around them be a part of their journey as they continue to grow in their relationship with you? And then I think it's important if they don't have, I always ask people after the prayer, do you have a Bible? And if they say no, then I do whatever I can to get them a Bible. Oftentimes people say, yeah, I've got a Bible. Okay. All right, well, start reading it. Start at the book of John. If you've never read your Bible, I would say go to John first and make sure you have a good translation that you understand and it's not something from 60 years ago. It's like old English.
Don't understand it.
Yeah. You know, tell them about the Bible app, get them pointed to the Bible app where they can, you know, just give them, start giving them just some simple tools that they can use to start learning the Word. And then, you know, just kind of try to follow up on them too, if you if you're able. Sometimes in on a Sunday morning, people will come and receive Jesus, and in the midst of everything that's going on, I don't know who they are, right? And so, you know, that makes it a little more challenging. You have to try to figure out who that is. But no,
Dave's job, right?
Well,
help people get connected.
You know, I oftentimes point. I point people to discipleship. Mm-hmm. They need to get involved in discipleship. Yep. I don't want to like overwhelm them though.
Right. Mm-hmm. Here's a list of 100 things you could do.
Here's 25 right. books. Yep. And you know, here's our list of our classes. And
yeah,
you know, I don't do that, but I'll just like say something like, you know, pray about getting in a discipleship class. A great place to start is men's or women's ministry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, because they. You know, if there's a women's ministry class going on, but just places where they can start to get connected. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's an alpha class coming up, maybe point them to the alpha class or, you know, whatever it is. It all depends on how long you have and what the circumstances are. Maybe if you're not at, so typically as a pastor, oftentimes I'm at the church. Mm-hmm. But if you're out, like say you're at a coffee shop or something, we had somebody, remember the time we had somebody walk up and...
Yep.
And say, are you guys Christians? And how do you become a Christian? And we're just like, And so we ended up praying for them right at the table at the coffee shop. But then it was the same thing. We encouraged them to get the Bible and
get plugged into a church.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and you know, a church that believes in the, you know, word driven, spirit led church, word and spirit, and things like that. So
don't be afraid to mess it up, though, right? Don't be afraid to.
It's really kind of done when they now. If you're telling them the gospel, if you're witnessing to them, just make sure you don't gloss over sin and repentance. Mm-hmm. You know, repentance is very simple. It's an old church word, but repentance is turning from your sin to God.
Right.
That's it. You turn towards God, and that's a big part of effective calling. Mm-hmm. And you always point them to Jesus. Jesus died for our sins. We have grace through Jesus Christ. If you put your faith in Him, your sins will be forgiven. Mm-hmm. So turn from your sins. It's not freedom to continue in your sins. Mm-hmm. It's freedom to receive the Holy Spirit and turn towards God.
Right. Yeah. So you can hear a gospel call many times.
Yep.
And throughout your life, you might hear that over and over and over. But what about an effective call? Can you hear an effective call more than once? Or is that just a one-time thing and that's what it takes to be effective?
That's a really good question. I'm theologically, I would say the first time is the effective call. But at the same time, I think there's seasons of... major steps forward in which there are calls that are more effective, maybe. I think the key thing is that, and I know that I don't want to trickle too far into conversion, because conversion is actually a willful response. So effective calling and conversion are very closely related. But at some point you have to, there is something appealing. And you desire that. Mm-hmm. You desire God. And that's an effective call. Mm-hmm. And that's, so, you know, you could sit there. So, for example, you can present the gospel and there could be 10 people that hear it. And for 2 people, it's effective.
Right.
And for 8.
They're just like,
yeah. But then a couple years down the line, they may be reflecting upon that.
Effective
that
for
moment
them.
And then suddenly they're like, you know what,
I
want that, and then it becomes effective.
So the other thing that I would just say in all of that is that I think that as a believer, being mindful of experiences that people are in, and whether it's life stages or major events, because I think that people are more open to hearing and receiving that gospel call at different points in their life, especially, you know, we've talked about just as we go through life and maybe become complacent or whatever, but then something happens or you hit a season like 2020 and COVID and like, what is all of this? But I just think too that there's times in a person's life when they're maybe a little bit more open and receptive. And so I think too, it's as from a believer's perspective and sharing that gospel message with people, it's looking for those opportunities and people who are maybe a little bit more open to hearing that message too.
And I think that's where, to echo what you're saying, I think that's where cultural relevance comes in, just being wise.
Yep.
You know, that was actually so, you know, that was one of the reasons why, you know, early on I did a lot of prison ministry. Mm-hmm. I mean, prison ministry, there a lot of people are in moments in prison.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you know what, you don't need to sell me on the fact that I'm a sinner.
Right.
I know I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's but you kind of start at a different place. Mm-hmm. You know, I think sometimes, you know, like when I go and visit people in hospice care, if mm-hmm. I have an opportunity or people that feel like they're at the end of their life, oftentimes they're a little more interested
right.
in what you have to say
yeah.
than maybe they were before then.
Well, and at funerals, too.
At
that's
funerals,
one thing I was thinking of is you yeah. never shy away from the gospel at a funeral because that's another time, too, that people are just
they're searching
maybe a little
for
bit
answers.
More, yes, searching and open and trying to make sense of things.
Christmas time and Easter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. we kind of, you know, but people are, they're sometimes more open in seasons like that.
Right.
You know, maybe they come with some kind of an expectation or mm-hmm. maybe they're looking for something that they weren't normally looking for. But yeah, you're right. That's a good point. A lot of different opportunities and knowing what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's good.
Anything else to add to effective calling? It wasn't a very long chapter.
Yeah. Nope, wasn't long at all.
Just an effective short chapter.
That's good.
Doesn't have to be long
to
be effective.
You listen to Grudem's podcast. Anything from the...
I feel like I told you I listened to 30 minutes of it and heard about 30 seconds
Got 30 seconds.
I should say I heard 30 minutes, but I only listened.
There you go.
Seconds.
That's what you...
I would, you know, I don't know how often we've said that. It's probably been a while, but there is, you know, as we go through this,
yeah,
we are just following through Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, and he does have a podcast for Systematic Theology, and you can listen to each mm-hmm. one. And
mm-hmm. Sometimes there are multiple.
Yeah.
It's a class that he's teaching at his church, and so sometimes mm-hmm. there's multiple class times of that he does for one topic that we cover. So one chapter could have one class or it could have
six. I think
six.
Last week had two, maybe four.
Did you get all those?
No.
It's all right. We got it covered. So
it's nothing like working out to Wayne Grudem in your ear. And you're just like, yeah, I can't do this very long.
That would be hard.
No offense, Wayne.
I always get a kick out of when we do systematic theology. Because if you understand just the nature of things, so they want to talk election week one.
Yes,
right?
The people taking the class.
The people taking the class.
Yes.
Want, let's talk about election.
Let's talk about election.
Like, well, now,
let's
wait
talk
a minute.
About predestination.
Hold on a second.
Let's talk about...
The systematic theology, by its very title, is that there are layers. Mm-hmm. So if you don't start with God in the center of your theology,
mm-hmm.
and the all-creator, all-powerful God of the universe. If you don't start with that layer and you get yourself out of that layer, then theology becomes, if God's in that place, then theology stacks on top of it.
Right.
But if you're in that place, mm-hmm. it's just a mess.
Right.
And then, so that's part of the deal. And so you really do have to go through everything that preceded
mm-hmm.
to truly understand as we get into salvational order. And we go through all of these things, you got a whole lot that, we got 63 weeks of stuff that preceded it, more or less.
Got to build mm-hmm. that foundation first, right?
That's right.
You got to have that cornerstone also.
That's right. That's right.
No, that's good. Well, good job. So, announcements.
Marcy. What's coming up? All kinds of good stuff. So, kind of our normal weekly lineup. I can't talk today. Middle school and high school youth tonight. Men's ministry tomorrow. Saturday is the More at 4 prayer and worship time. Mm-hmm. So, 4 o'clock on Saturday in the new worship center, and we would love for people to join us for that.
Be good.
Yeah.
Michelle Van Coten is going to be leading that. So
yeah,
that'll be good.
That's good. And then Sunday services at 9 and 11, children's ministry at the 9 o'clock service, and nursery at the 9 o'clock service also. And then this Sunday at 3 in the afternoon, the team that went to Haiti last year didn't have a chance to do their trip recap. So they're doing their trip recap this Sunday at 3 o'clock. And they have there's another trip to Haiti that's already on the calendar. So if you're interested in, actually, they are going to have an informational meeting about that trip specifically, but this trip recap would be a great time, too, to come in and hear more about their trip to Haiti.
I would highly recommend it.
Yes.
If you want to do a mission trip, you know, Many Hands for Haiti, which is the mm-hmm. group that organizes these trips, Tim Brand and Pella, they just do such a good job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've great got things. A great organization on the ground in Haiti. It's just a great mm-hmm. opportunity, and there's so much need in Haiti.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it'll blow your mind. Mm-hmm. You go to Haiti, it'll change you. You know, there's other places you can go, but it's really kind of crazy that Haiti is so close.
Yeah.
I mean, relatively speaking, it's like 90 minutes from Fort Lauderdale.
Not too long of a plane ride.
Not too long of a plane ride. And, you know, it's definitely, I mean, I've been to Haiti multiple times. I've seen the progression in the area and the impact that Many Hands has had. It'll be interesting to go because they're just opening things back up again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who knows what it'll be like when you get out there again.
Yep. But yeah.
Powerful stuff. Pouring concrete floors with 5-gallon buckets.
Yep, good.
You know, the kind of the old fashioned way of doing stuff, mm-hmm. helping build houses. And
yeah,
it's pretty special. So
yep,
that's good. So yeah, that's this Sunday at 3:00. You can come and hear more about that.
Yep.
Then we have a lot of things coming up. So Women's Ministry starts their new study on Elijah next week. So there's still a window of time to get signed up from that. There's a daytime class from 9 to 11 and then an evening class from 6 to 8. So you can find more information on the website. But like I said, it starts next week. And so now is that window of time to get signed up. And we would love for you to join us. And then the Freedom Study starts in March 1 on Monday nights from 6:30 to 8. And so that's going to be another great Bible study that we have coming up. And mm-hmm. just looking at that, finding freedom in Christ and walking with others in that process. And that'll be good. And then Grief Share also is in March. So that's going to be on Tuesday night starting March 8. So if you are interested or know someone who's interested in Grief Share, and we've got a great group of people who are leading that class, and they would love for you to join them as well. So you can yep. invite people to that and let them know. It's a very, very specialized ministry, and they just do a great job of walking with people in that grief process. So then a couple other things, just want to make sure people know that as a church, we've committed to helping Discover Hope meals. And so we have the last Tuesday of the month. And I do believe that we're still looking to fill that February spot. So if you're interested in helping to provide a meal for Discover Hope, you can contact the office.
Maybe you're good at cooking.
Maybe you're good at cooking. Serving. Maybe that is your gift or your talent. That's right. Yes. And if you're not good at cooking, maybe you could join a team who is, and you could just go help
and
serve.
Learn.
That's right. You could learn. So there are multiple ways to get involved. That's right. So that is out there and available. Also, we're looking for nursery volunteers. We need more nursery volunteers for the 9:00 service.
Maybe your gift is kids.
Maybe so. So that's another great way to get plugged in. And you can contact the office or Alicia for more information about that. And this month, we're focusing on the Jasper County Food Pantry, and they are looking for macaroni and cheese, soup, and crackers. So if those are items you can pick up at the grocery store, we have a box where you can drop those off and you can bring them with you on Sunday and put them in that box, and then our team from the Jasper County Food Pantry will come in and pick those up. And so that's another great way too to plug in and serve. And
maybe God's blessed you with financial blessing, and you can
give
macaroni and cheese.
That's right. So, and then last thing, this is kind of an out there piece that's coming up, but the Phoenix Phase is going to do a run. So it's the Phoenix Phase is a ministry that Colin and Danielle Barnes started, and they have a run coming up in April. And so there's information out on our website that directs you to their website to find out more about that. And
a fundraiser,
it's a fundraiser. Yep. That they are looking at doing. And
to
so
help sex trafficked women in Uganda.
In Uganda. So yeah.
Are you going to run?
You know what? So they have virtual options and in-person options. So I'm going to do the virtual option. Because we're going to set up a water station here at the church. So for people who are doing the half marathon, I'm going to help with the water station, but I will still get in my virtual run.
So what does that mean, virtual run?
Well, it's still a real run. You just do it on your own time, not during the designated time. So it's not like...
Can it be done over a period of a week?
We're doing a virtual run on my couch.
I'm going to take to virtual running the way some people take to virtual church. Pajamas, recliner.
It is an actual run. You do still.
If I make enough trips to my kitchen and back to my recliner, it'll equal a 5K.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go.
Yep.
So
good. Good.
That's great. That's all I have. Bulletins are back.
I have a confession to make before we sign off. I have kind of a crush on one of the ministry leaders. The women's ministry
coming up next week.
I kind of have a crush on one of the leaders. I think she's pretty special.
Starting next week, so.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, it's your wife.
It is my wife, We don't want any rumors out there. My wife is...
A daytime group and an evening group, but...
Yeah. So that'll be good. I know she's gearing up for that, and they always have such a good group of women that participate in that, so that'll be... really good. So,
and we as men get to do our part in serving, so our wives can go get plugged in, and we'll stay home and watch the kids. And
you're excited about that, aren't
you?
Yeah.
Don't say babysit.
Nope, not babysit. That's right.
You are incur the wrath. But and for those of us that are empty nesters, I just hang out and. Go home, it's good. It's nice when those things resume back up.
Yes.
So, it's supposed to be kind of cold over the next week, so hang in there, be careful.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, there's something about, this time of year where it's almost like you get to that point where you're like, you think this is going to stop me? I'm going to go through. It's almost like you're in that grit your teeth stage. Where it's like, I will not give in to
bring
this
it
weather.
On.
Bring it on. And I got out of my car this morning and I walked from my normal parking spot into the building. And I thought, it feels kind of balmy out. And it was 8 degrees.
It's actually above zero.
I almost felt like I could have wore shorts today.
You make it through this, spring is around the corner.
That's right.
So,
that's
guaranteed.
Right.
We're getting there. Well, anyway, thank you, everybody. And
good stuff.
This is where we sign off. And thanks for tuning in. And we hope to see you on Sunday. We hope to see you. If not, we hope to see you soon.
That's right.
So God bless you. We love you. And see you later.
Bye-bye.